The church's mission, according to Scripture, is to grow and go. Matter of fact, I would like to see, I was telling John this yesterday, to have a slogan for Downstate Church on our website, and it says growing and going. I think that would really be remind us of what our mission is to do, to grow and go. And this mission is made possible because God gives Jesus, the master craftsman, everything he needs. Jesus is the one who is causing all of us to grow up into maturity. He's the head and we're the body. And he's the master craftsman. And God is giving to Jesus everything he needs. And that's me and you, who have been given gifts. And our responsibility then is to yield to the master carpenter and perform the function within the body that we've been given. And that's why it mentioned a couple times the last couple weeks. It's like this, the book called Stop Dating the Church. It's time for those of us who follow Christ to really embrace a local body of believers where we know that we are going to be helped by them and we're going to help them, all of us, to grow up into Jesus and to go out for Jesus. So instead of being a free agent and dating around, you get in and you say, okay, I want to grow and go. And we realize that the master craftsman is the one who's putting together his church. And my task in this body and your task as this brand new church is being started is to yield to the master carpenter and perform the function that he's given me. And as each member serves the body in that way, as I walk in and you walk in, the body gathers and the heart that I have is a heart of a waiter or a waitress to say, how can I serve you? And I walk in that way, and then as we all are serving the body in this way, Jesus causes us to grow and to go effectively. Okay, so now we know our mission. Our mission is to grow up into Jesus and to go out for Jesus. And we know how it's being enabled. The way it's being enabled, the way it's made possible, is God's bringing people into the church who have special gifts that this local body needs and that this city needs. And he's bringing us all here together. And as each of us exercises what God made us to do, we're all growing up. The elbow is helping out the wrist and the whole body together. That's what's happening. So now we know this, we know what our mission is and how it's enabled. The next question this morning we're going to deal with is this. Who is leading this growth and this going? All right, we're all here. We know what the mission is. What's happening next? And so the title of the sermon this morning is this. The church mission led, God selects and the church ordains mature, honorable, gifted men to oversee, lead, and help as the church grows and goes for Jesus. That's how it's led. God selects and then the church ordains mature, honorable, gifted men who oversee, lead, and help as the church grows up and goes out for Jesus. I want you first to open to Ephesians chapter 1. Towards the back of the New Testament, if you're not familiar where it is, go to the table of contents in the front of the Bible and go to the New Testament in the table of contents and look for the book of Ephesians and you'll see where to go there. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. Here's what we know for sure. By the way, if anyone needs a Bible, John has it in the back. We give them every week away as a gift. If you need a Bible, you take it as a gift. Anybody at all? I think we're all set, John. Ephesians 1 verse 22 says about Jesus, or about God about Jesus, that God, he put all things in subjection under his, Jesus' feet, and gave him, Jesus, as head over all things to the church. So there's no doubt overall, who is the head of the church? Jesus. He is the head of the body that we're all growing up into. There's no doubt about that. But then look over at chapter 4 now and verse 11. How is it that I'm saying, based on Scripture, that the church mission is led this way? That God selects and the church ordains, they confirm what God's choice is. Mature, honorable, gifted men who oversee, lead, and help the church to grow up and to go out for Jesus. Why am I saying that? Ephesians 4 verse 11 says this. And he, God's Spirit, gave some as apostles and some as prophets. Those are not existing gifts today, but they were at one point. He gave some as apostles and he gave some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. The word pastors is shepherds. He gave some as shepherd teachers. For this reason, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. God has given gifts to everybody, and he's among those gifts he's given our shepherd teachers. For this reason, that they would equip the body. The word equip means to fit out. It means to complete, to make what it ought to be. It also has the idea of furnishing or mending. So if I were to think of three illustrations of a shepherd teacher besides a shepherd, it would be, for example, let's say if I was a person who had some skill with playing the piano or playing the trumpet, I had some, you know, novice ability at doing it. So maybe I had some, you know, inborn gift at it. But then I went, my parents, for example, maybe paid for me to go to a music teacher to take that, what I had, and to develop that into a greater, think of a music instructor. Think also of an interior decorator, someone who walks into your house, you say, here's the raw material of the house, what can we do with this house? And this person walks in and they can see things and, you know, it's almost like extreme home makeover. When they're done, it's like, whoa, I didn't recognize. Okay, the shepherd teacher serves as an instructor, as to bring out, to complete it, like an interior decorator, and like a physical therapist, to mend. Because what happens in a body in all of our lives is every one of us here have parts of our lives that are broken. And the gift of shepherd teacher is to equip, to help mend that area that's broken, that needs to be repaired, so that it can be completely furnished out. So for what reason? To equip the saints for the work of service, so they can go. So they can exercise their gifts. The shepherd teacher's been given to do this, and the result will be this, the building up of the body of Christ, which is our mission. Our mission is to grow up into Jesus and go out for Jesus. And so here is how that mission is led. Jesus is the head, and then God selects certain men gifted as shepherd teachers to equip, to furnish, to mend, to fill in the saints, so that they may completely be able to their full potential, do the work of service, so the body grows. That's how it's led. And verse 13 says, until what happens? Until we all attain, all of us, to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So that's what's going on. So I want to talk about these shepherd teachers. I want to give, from the New Testament, three kind of descriptions of shepherd teachers. Because, again, as we come in the early part of next year, when we form our constitution and so forth, we're going to ordain shepherd teachers in this body. We know this, that they are, first of all, as I mentioned, they are people who are selected by God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, for example, one time these guys were in the city of Antioch, these Christians. And a bunch of the men, there were prophets and teachers there, the Bible says. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit made it clear to these guys that they were to take Paul and Barnabas and set them apart and send them out to be missionaries. And the church recognized that that's what the Holy Spirit wanted to have happen. And the Bible says they laid hands on them. And then they left, and verse 4, chapter 13 says, being sent by the Holy Spirit. God is the one who had chosen them. The church acknowledged that God had chosen them. Acts chapter 20. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20 that these overseers, these people, were chosen. They were made overseers by God. So again, we know right off the bat that anybody serving in this role that's been gifted this way has been chosen by God in this way, and the church recognizes this and ordains them to serve in this function. And by the way, these guys called shepherd teachers in other places in scriptures are called elders, which indicates a maturity. That's why I use the adjective mature. And they're overseers. They have the act of oversight. They're called the name overseer. They lead. Now, we know from the New Testament that men serving in this role are for this reason. Number one, I'm going to give you three descriptions of what these guys are to be. Number one, they're to be servant leaders. Shepherd teachers exist, as the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, for the progress and your joy in the faith. That's why they're there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that they are not lords, but they are co-workers for your joy. You and them together are working for your joy. Same thing, for example, if I said a music instructor, if I walked in, I mean, that music instructor is not going to play the trumpet for me. The music instructor can tell me what to do and coach me and encourage me, but I've got to put my fingers on there and blow, and I've got to practice. And so a shepherd teacher is a co-worker, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, a co-worker with you for your joy. But if they're not lords, you know who is the Lord? Jesus is the Lord. So what happens when you come into church, it's not okay, here we come, here's the stud, here's the star, the shepherd teachers, and we all serve them. No, we serve the Lord, all gifted in different ways, and among those gifts in the body is that shepherd teacher who God's especially enabled and given a desire to help equip you to better be what he made you to be, so the whole body grows. You know how they do this? The special way that shepherd teachers help equip you to grow in a maturity in Jesus is this. They preach to you the word about Christ. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, he says, I preach to every man and admonish every man about Christ so that I can present them to maturity. This is what the main way that a shepherd teacher equips you is to preach to you the fullness of all who Jesus is and what he's done. And this is why the Bible says it's very important that a shepherd teacher be constantly nourished in the word and doctrine himself. And also that he study to show himself approved, that he rightly handles the word of truth, because if he's able to do that, then he's able to really help you. For example, if I am a physical therapist, but I really don't understand what's going on. I don't understand how that part of the body works, and I really can't. However, if I am fully trained and I've immersed myself in that topic and you walk in, I can really help you. So it is to be with the shepherd teacher. They are to immerse themselves in the word and doctrine because what they use to help equip you is the truth, the word about Jesus. And listen real quickly to what the New Testament says that they do in your life. They exhort you. They encourage you or comfort you. They urge you as a father does his children. The Bible says in other places that they strengthen you. They encourage you in your faith. The Bible says in another place they instruct you. They also guard, the Bible says. They guard you and they shepherd you. They correct you and they rebuke you. This is what the scripture describes the task of a gifted shepherd teacher is to do. So shepherd teachers serve as leaders. They are servant leaders, not lords. They are co-workers with you for your joy. But think about, let me ask you a question. When you hear about someone who encourages, who urges, who maybe rebukes, who instructs, who exhorts, what does that sound like to you? What does that sound like to you? A person who does all those kind of things. They exhort, they encourage, they rebuke, they instruct. Can you think of any profession in life that sounds like to you? Coach! That's right. Shepherd teachers are not only servant leaders. Do you know what else they are? They are coaches. That's what they are. Shepherd leaders, teachers, are coaches. You know, in sports, a good coach doesn't just tell his players to go out and win, but he teaches you how. I had a coach like this in high school. This guy was our soccer coach, didn't know a thing about soccer. He'd be on the sideline, come on, guys, get them, run hard. Coach, any plans? Just go get them, yeah! You know what's crazy? I referee soccer now in high school. In the high school, like this guy left where I went to a Christian school. This guy ended up going to a public school and became the, I have no idea who he paid off. He became the head soccer coach at a Division I school in this state, and the guy knows nothing about soccer. I mean, I referee soccer now, and so I've been at some of his games, and he's still saying the same thing he did 20 years ago. And so I hear him, the guy's, come on, run, do good. You know, like, oh, boy, man. So thankfully, a lot of these guys play, like, on these town leagues, and someone else coaches them, you know. But see, a coach is more than just someone who tells you to go out and do it. He shows you how. You know, the Hebrew word for teach means to, it's taken from an idea of someone who instructs someone else how to shoot a bow and arrow. Now, can you imagine if you guys wanted to go learn archery and the instructor says, all right, let me show you how to shoot a bow and arrow here. Boom, they shoot it right up in the, like, oh boy, I don't know if I want this guy giving me a lesson here. What you expect to see happen if someone's going to instruct you how to shoot a bow and arrow is they pull it right back there and they're pretty much a sharp shooter. That's the idea of teaching, is that what you have is, by God's grace and these men's life who have nourished themselves on the word and doctrine, is the ability then to help coach you because they're growing, they're learning. God's taught them things, and so they're a coach. Well, you know what else a coach does? He develops strategies for best utilizing the strengths and talents of his team. I like what someone said. He said, a pastor as a coach is in the business of opening packages and taking out gifts. He's in this body and he's watching what God's doing and he's seeing, he's observing how God's building his church and here's another gift and here's another gift and let them go. You know what happens too? When a coach does, in practice, he shows his players where and how they need to improve. He reminds his players throughout the game of what he has taught them and checks and cheers them as they compete. This I think a coach really describes, and you see the New Testament verbs of what a shepherd teacher does. A coach is probably the best picture you could have in your mind. So how was the church led? The church is led when God selects and the church acknowledges that God has called apart mature, honorable, gifted men. They've gifted the fact that they are able to teach, they're nourished in the word and doctrine, to oversee, to lead, and to help grow and to go into Jesus. So pastor teachers, shepherd teachers are servant leaders, they are coaches, and thirdly, shepherd teachers are models. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, to Timothy, this young man who is out of the ministry, to show, let no one look down on your relatively young age, your youthfulness, but show yourself to be an example to the believers in your speech and in your conduct, and in your love, and in your faithfulness, and in your purity. God is calling for shepherd teachers to be models for the less mature, but who are on their way to maturity, to imitate. This is why the Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 7, to those who are not shepherd teachers, he says, remember those who instructed you in the word, and their conduct, and imitate their faith. So this is a special calling and a special challenge. By the way, how does a man know that God has called them to be an elder, an overseer? And how does the church know that God has called a certain man to be an elder, overseer, or a shepherd teacher? Well, three ways. Number one, they have the desire, according to 1 Timothy 3. There's the desire there. Number two, they have the character. Their life is, they're maturing. And the Bible describes this character as being one that's above reproach, which means that there is no glaring fault that's obvious that people can grab onto and say, you know what, that discredits when he opens his mouth because he has this glaring fault in his life. And thirdly, they are gifted. They have the ability to, again, they're not a archery instructor who can't shoot a bow and arrow. They're gifted. And by the way, let me make just sort of side note. According to the scriptures in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13, God has instructed that in the church, women are not to be the ones who exercise authority and instructing in the church. This is why we say, based on the New Testament, that how is the church led? It is led this way. God selects and the church ordains mature, honorable, gifted men to oversee, lead, and help as they grow and go into Jesus. Now, I want you to look at this. Why don't you go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I just really want to talk about now how are we to respond to this leadership as a church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. But we request you, brethren, of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you or have leadership over you in the Lord and give you instruction and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. So what is our response to be as God grows our body and supplies us with elders, overseers, shepherd teachers? The response of us should be one of great appreciation and to hold in honor those that God has given that role in our life. And not only that, but look at Hebrews 13. Go past, keep going, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, then Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. You know, the Bible says that one day shepherd teachers, overseers, elders are going to give account to the chief shepherd. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that every man must be careful how he builds on the foundation that has been laid, which is Christ. How does he build? Does he build on that with good doctrine, with gold, silver, and precious stone? Or does in his teaching and the things he introduces, does he introduce wood and hay and stubble? You've got this gorgeous foundation, and the guy builds a shack on top of it. The Bible says one day every man who builds on the foundation of Jesus, everyone who serves in this role of shepherd teacher in the church, that is Jesus' church, his work will be tried by fire. And if he has built on it gold and silver and precious stones, he'll receive a reward. And if he has built on it nothing but wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be burned up. He'll be saved if he belongs to Jesus, but his work will be gone. And then the Bible goes on to say, to give this incredible warning to anybody who serves as shepherd, teacher, overseer, and elder, if any one of you destroys the temple of God, God's going to destroy you. So it's a serious responsibility to be in that role. And the Bible also says in 1 Peter chapter 5 that one day, again, that shepherds are to shepherd the flock of God voluntarily with eagerness, not because you're forced to. And those that faithfully shepherd the flock, the Bible says when the chief shepherd appears, they will receive the crown of glory. You know, by the way, there's so much more to talk about on this topic, but I want to this morning kind of come to an end with this thought. Are you living for that day? The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 17, that we should obey and submit to them because they're going to give an account. Do you realize that one day you're going to give an account Romans 14, verse 12, so that every one of us is going to give account of ourself to God. You know, I think so many times in our life, if you guys think about, like even say this past week, and choices that maybe you made to sin, and all of us can look in our life and see times, you know what happens at that moment? We don't think about anything else. You're only thinking about that present moment. Whatever you feel right then. And the farthest thing from your mind, and sometimes let's say maybe after you've engaged in sin and now it's gone, and you step back and say, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? Man, if I could do that over again, I would. God wants all of us to live our life realizing today that I'm going to give an account for now. It's like somebody once said, and I think it's great advice, begin with the end in mind. Begin this day. And by the way, you know what's encouraging about that? The end is when you appear before Jesus. The end is not last night. The end is not the past. And you may say, boy, if it ended now, you know, look at I've really failed. I mean, I am not what Dave was telling me last night. Someone that he knows and loves said to him, and this person's now older in life, and said to him, boy, I feel like I've wasted most of my life. Well, the good news that Dave can share with this person always is that's not the end. The end is not when you graduate from college. The end is not when you get married. The end is not when you get your first job. The end is not when you retire. The end is not when you have grandkids. The end is when you stand before Jesus. So you know what? You're still breathing. You can grow. You can change. You can grow up into Jesus and become what he wants you to be. The end is there. And live for that day. That's the right way for me and you to live. And that's why, by the way, we looked at recently in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said to everyone, Jesus is always pointing to that day. Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 13, enter into the narrow gate. The small way, because that way leads to life. But don't enter into the broad way that everybody else that goes to your school and lives in your dorms or lives in your street or goes where you work. Enter the way that, because you know what, that broad way where everybody else is going, they could care less about anything else except right now, that leads to destruction. The life of a follower of Jesus is a life that is focused on that day. And that's the thought that I want us to close with this morning. As we go into this week, begin this week with the end in mind. And the end is not Saturday. The end is the day when you stand before Jesus. Begin this week, for which you'll give account, that way. And let's thank God in the beginning of this year as we ordain shepherd teachers. Let's appreciate and love them and submit to them as those who will also give an account to the chief shepherd someday. And thank God for the coaches and the servant leaders and the models. And by the way, they're intended to model so that you will learn, because you know that all those, when you read the scriptures, well, this is the way a servant leader and a teacher should be. That's how God wants you to be. He wants you to have the conduct and faith and purity and love and speech of a shepherd teacher. And the only reason they're there is to coach you so that you'll be able to coach. That's right. And one day, maybe you're coaching your family, maybe coaching in a small setting in church, and maybe God is going to give some men here to become shepherd teachers. But the bottom line is this, he wants all of us to grow up into Jesus' love and speech and faith and purity, and then together as this body grows to represent him in a real powerful way in this city. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we praise you this morning as the head of our church. And it is our desire to grow up into you. Lord, you know our down-sitting and our uprising. You know our foolishness. You know our desires. You know all things. You know our heart. And I thank you for everyone here that you have put the love of you in. And you've caused us to yearn and cry out to grow like a little baby can't help but want to grow. You've put that desire in us. And I thank you for how gentle you are. And how you are just so wise in our life. And I pray that you'll help us, dear Lord, just to respond to you as the master craftsman. Lord, help us all to live for that day. To have perspective. Lord, I pray this morning you'll encourage anyone who has been feeling like because they failed to this point that's at the end. It's not at the end. Lord, help us to respond to your word and to your shepherding. Lord, I pray that you will raise up for us in our body here shepherd teachers, overseers, and elders. Lord, may we love them and encourage them. Strengthen them, Lord. And we pray that you'll build a beautiful body here for your honor and glory in this city. That's what our deepest desire is, that you will build an accurate reflection of you in this city. And Lord, it'd be an incredible joy and honor in our life, a bunch of weak vessels, if you were to take all of us jars of clay and make an absolutely beautiful piece of china that shines, because you just rule. Lord, subdue our hearts. May we all submit to you. Lord, give this body the love for one another and for you and the commitment that we need. I thank you for what you're doing here, God. We pray in your great name.